So I have a last name slash first name, middle initial or middle name. It doesn't matter which it is. And what I want to do is I want to switch it. I want to switch it so that I will have first, middle, last. So in my data, I've stored it with last slash first middle, which gives me the ability to sort the field on name more effectively because I've got the last name first. Okay, but if I want to make a list of some kind, or if I'm making something like mailing labels, I need to have first, middle, last. So, how would you do that? I used a slash, but I could have, for example, Doe on M, or I could have Smith.
Oh, wait, isn't it like
Susan?
Like a substring and find the backslash, backslash,
yes,
and then you can organize it from
yes.
There.
So what I've got to do is, as he just said, I've got to first find that. So what's the command that's going to be able to find that?
In string,
okay? So if I use the in string command, I can find the slash, okay? So I'm going to use in string to find the slash. And this is still saying shutting down. Ah, it's a wonderful world. I'm just going to turn it off and see what happens when I turn it back on again. Okay. When you push the on button, isn't it supposed to go on? Yes, it finally made a noise. Absolutely nothing. I push the on button and I push the on button and I push the on button and it's doing absolutely nothing. Hi, it's Priscilla. I'm down in 101 and there's a problem. Would you ask somebody from the help desk to come down? Thank you. Bye-bye. I'll give it one more push. Anybody that wants to play is more than welcome. So, I would use the in-string command to find the slash. So it would come back and give me the location of the slash. Depending on the language that I am using, it may count and go 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, or it may count and give me a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And that's something that I always have to think about if I was looking at that particular thing. Over here, it would give me either a 0, 1, 2, so it would be a 3, or if it starts at a 1, it would give me a 1, 2, 3, and it would give me a 4. And I always experiment with that when I'm trying it, because some languages start counting with 0 when you do this, some languages start counting with 1. And you just have to experiment and figure out which one is going to come back with. So this is going to come back with a 3 or a 4. This is going to come back with a 6 or a 7. Okay? So now, once it has come back, then what you want to do is say, okay, if I add 1 to it, that is the beginning of the first name, right? So if I know the slash location and I add 1 to it, that gives me the location of the first name, of the start of the first name. So if I know the start of the first name, how can I extract the first and middle initial? What command can I use for that? To extract the first name, middle initial, a middle name or middle initial?
Substring.
Substring, right. So once I know the beginning of this, where this is, I can use substring. And if I have substring, I can go in and get the rest of it. Now, substring in Oracle and in most languages wants the start position, and then if you just give the start position, it will go to the end. If you give two numbers, then it will take that number of characters. So in other words, I can give it the start position, and then I can give it like a 4, and it would take 4 characters. Or I can give it the start position and it would take 2 characters. But if I want only a certain number of characters, that's how I do it. But if I want to go to the end, I don't give it an end. I don't give it a number of characters. I just give it the start position. And then it will go to the end. So that means it would take all of those characters. Okay? So, now how do I extract the last name?
You'd use the in-string position as the end of the substring
yes.
number.
Only it's a basically going to be a minus 1.
Right.
This character is the minus 1. So if I have the location of the slash, that's at the minus 1 position. Okay? So I then start at either 0 or 1, depending on the language what it's doing, and I can never remember, so I always have to experiment. Okay, but I can start at either 0 or 1, and then I go up to the location and put that together. Then once I've got the first name and the last name, what do I have to do? What? Well, but how do I flip it?
You select it in the order that you want it in.
Right. And what do I do to get them to go together?
Concatenate.
So I concatenate them together. So I'm looking here at a bunch of different functions. And I have to concatenate them with what else? I have to concatenate first, concatenate that with a space, because I want a space between them. And then concatenate that with last, so that I do the flip. Okay, so I'm starting out this way, and I can flip it and get that. So now, in a lot of languages, when I do this, oh dear, not who I want.
Not your help person.
Not my help person. Okay. It's got to be able to go on eventually, right? That is the button to turn it on.
And it's little not powering green, on at all?
No, little green lights come up. Yeah. Now they're staying on. It was somebody else's touch, maybe. No, I only wish. But it, no, you got the green lights to stay on. Okay, how did you push? That was different from how I pushed.
Low and pushed.
Maybe I get in the, I push too long after a while. But anyway, it is starting up. Not bad. Okay. So, anyway, while we're waiting for this, and this is going to be a homework assignment, so give it a shot. The big thing is, I started to say, is when I do this in a programming language, I frequently do it in a step-by-step thing, where I say, okay, find the slash and store it someplace. Then extract the first name and store it someplace. Then extract the last name and store it someplace. Now put them all together, and I've got these three variable names that I'm putting together. When I do it with a select statement, I have to concatenate them all in one statement. It is one select statement, okay? So SQL makes the big point that they don't have many commands, and isn't this wonderful? But in lots of ways, it's not so wonderful, because that means you have to do an awful lot in one command. So in the select command, I've got to put in the code to extract the first name. And to do that, then I have to put in the code to put in a space, and then I have to put in the code to find the last name. So I can't do in-string separate. In-string has to be part of finding the location. So if I want to do this, when I do a substring, I need to give it the starting position. Well, I need to use in-string at the point that I'm giving it the starting position to find the starting position. So I'm going to be saying substring, the name of the field, comma, and then the starting position is going to be the in-string command to find the starting position. Okay? And over here, when I want the last name, it is going to be, when I want to tell it how many characters, it's going to be the in-string to tell it how many characters. So in-string is involved. Okay, the computer will reboot in 1 minute. Why do I get the impression that we're not having a good day? Go ahead, please, if you would, and try this. I was probably going to end up doing this at the end of class, so we're doing it at the beginning of class now. So try this and see if you can figure out how to do it. Talk to the person next to you if you want to.
Can we just use the name field that we have and do a space and find the space instead of the slash?
Sure. One of your assignments, I've asked you to put in a name with a slash, but if you haven't done that yet, I've asked you to put in a name and a slash. But yes, you can look for a space. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. So if you have a name and you want to test this, you can put in and look for a space. Okay. And in fact, you can end up, if you happen to have one out there that has the name Anne French, you can go look for the space and print out French Anne. And that will be fine to experiment with. On the second assignment, I've asked you to make a name with a slash in it, and that's going to allow me to go back I guess at this point I say okay. And it then goes into shutting down mode again. What have we seen here this before? Okay. At least now it's decided to start on its own. So try to figure out, you can try to figure out the logic, or you can actually go in and play with it if you have a database. And look for a space and then put the name by looking for a space. And I'm not going to give you the answer. As soon as this comes up, we'll move on to something else, because it's a homework assignment, not this week, but next week's homework assignment. So if you get started on it, you'll be that much ahead. Good heavens, I've got the Control-Alt-Delete. Now help is going to show up. Has not been my day. I tripped and fell on the way coming in, and now we hit this, and I think I should just leave. This is just not working. It's very slow.
Has anybody got any progress on that? Okay, notice the in string and the substring are up here now. And I've got to also get them to adjust the mirror, the light a little bit. Okay, so in string again says, look at this field and find the E. And what it returns is a single character. Okay, so in my case, I would want to say, look at the name and find the slash, and it will return the location of the slash. Now, up here I've got the substring, and I said look at date first and go to the fourth character. So 1, 2, 3, 4 is, and notice the output is the JUL. So that means this was counting by 1, 2, 3, 4. It didn't start with 0, because the J is the fourth character. And then it said to take 3. If I didn't say the comma 3 there, it would have taken from the J to the end of the field. Okay? But because I put the comma 3 in, it took 3 characters. If I had left that out, it would take to the end of the field. Okay? So those are the things that you need in order to use in-string and sub-string. And we'll see if it is actually... Okay, now it seems to think that it's all right. Go with whatever we've got here. I think we've actually got it working. Anybody got anything on this that they can see? Yeah.
I got as far as the int string. I was able to do that part, but I'm having a problem combining the substring with the int string. What I'm trying to do is take like the last from the name and the donor, like Stephen Daniels. I'm trying to do Daniels, comma, space,
yeah, right.
Stephen, something like that. Yeah.
Well, so what you've got...
Everything's got to be concatenated outside of the... substring, so it should be a concat on the outside and then everything else.
Yes. What I suggest you do is you do a piecemeal in the sense of write the code to just get the first name, and then once you've got that working, write the code to just get the last name, and then once you've got that working, you put it all together so that you have the code to get concatenate the code to get the first name. Concatenate it with a space, concatenate it with the code to get the last name. So what you're looking at up here is the substring. And when you use substring, you have to have the field name. And then you have to have the start. And then optionally, you can have the length. But that's your choice. And in this one, when you're getting the first name, you don't want that because you don't want the length. Okay, but the start is actually going to be the end string is going to be included in the start. So that when the start, I am going to use the end string to find the starting position. So I'm going to put end string in there and use the end string to find the starting position. Okay?
You put the end string function right within.
You can put the end string function right in there. So you can have a function within a function. So I've got the substring. I give the name of the field, comma. Then I'm going to use the in string to locate the slash. And then I'm not going to put anything in for how many characters because I want it to go to the end. When I come to do the last name, I'm going to put in the substring and I'm going to give it that I want it to start at 1. Okay? But then I'm going to use in string to tell how many characters to take. So I'm going to have in string in there to tell how many characters to take. And notice over here that I wrote the plus one and the minus one. So if things are off a little bit, think about how to use those correctly. Because the slash dots at the location of the slash plus one and the location of the slash minus one gives me the length of the field. Okay, so if the location of the slash is 4, then 4 minus 1 tells me how many characters are in the last name. 6 minus 1 tells me how many characters are in the last name. So I have to use the minus 1 and the plus 1 to do that. Okay. And as I said, I want you to go on and try to do this. It's in next week's assignment. So play with it and it will show up in next week's assignment. Okay. And I think we've actually got a computer that maybe works. So we will continue on. The numeric functions are, there's a lot less numeric functions. There's a function to round and a function to truncate. Mod returns the remainder when you do a divide. And actually that's used in a bunch of mathematical formulas. One of them is when you calculate a check digit. Okay? If you have an ID, the last character of your ID is usually called a check digit. And it is gotten not by somebody randomly coming up with a number for you, but somebody taking, let's say the ID is 8 characters, taking the first 7 characters and running some mathematical formulas on those first 7 and coming up with an answer. And frequently mod is part of that, that they go in and do a divide and then they take the remainder and use it for something. So a lot of the formulas for things like that use mod. Okay? So calculating a check digit or something. Ceiling finds the nearest whole number greater than or equal, and floor finds the nearest whole number less than or equal to. You can take power, you can do a square root, and you can return what the sign is. So if you want to play around with math, those are some of the functions that are available in math, in numeric fields. And I've got examples of a lot of them down below. Okay, so there's mod. If I say the mod of 17, 5, it comes back with 2. Okay? Because 17 divided by 5 is 3 with a remainder of 2. So it's returning 2. Okay. And then down below, I've got the ceiling and the floor. If I put in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the ceiling is 124, and the floor is 123. If I do powers, okay, I can do powers. And I can return signs. Okay. Then I can use dates. And sys date from dual brings me back the system's date. So I did this, obviously, and that date, SQL, really doesn't change. And you can also call a sys dual, and that will work. Okay, you can also put the system date in just like that by saying select systems date, date first from donor. It will not, systems date, it understands as the systems date, and it will not go to the table to find it. It will give you the systems date. Okay. So there are a bunch of functions. If there's something you decide you want to do, it's worth going and looking up and seeing if there's a function. There's rounding, truncating, finding the number of months between, adding months, coming up with the next day, coming up with the last day. Okay, last day of the month. And so those are a bunch of things that you can do. And it's just having a wonderful time blinking. And there are some examples of those. You can also do conversions. If you have a number and you want to convert it to a character, you can use two character. If you have a character that you think has numbers in it and you want to convert it to a number, you can have it convert to number. And if you have a string of data that is stored as text but it's in a date format, you can convert it to date. Okay, so you've got those kinds of functions as well.
What's it doing when it rounds the date?
Where's the example of that? And there we go. Okay, so if I say round the system's date, then I get it to the closest date, I believe. So it, if it's... So July 3rd rounds down to the first day of the month, whereas May 24th is toward the end of the month, so it rounds to the first day of the next month. It's kind of like rounding where you have a 5, anything below a 5 goes down, anything above a 5 goes up.
But in the center example you have, which is right after you explain the functions,
you're right.
System date is 5 June, and it comes back rounded as 6 June.
You're right. Oh, that's because, sorry, I forgot how it worked. I said on the next one, round to the month. Date first, round to the month.
Yeah, no, this, I believe, goes into the time.
Oh.
And so it rounds up.
Gotcha.
Sorry, I forgot how it worked too. And truncate rounds down. Mm-hmm. And I round up by year, round down by year. So I can round up to the next year or down to the previous year. Exactly how often you use that. Not much. No, I don't either. Okay, so that pretty much, the important thing is to look at functions. When you're looking at functions, D, 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 D have different meanings if you want to print them. D will print the day of the week. DD prints the day of the month, and DDD prints the day of the year. And you can get into all of those kinds of things. Quarter returns 1, 2, 3, or 4. The word month returns the name of the month, whereas MM returns 1 through 12. And you can go through and get information that way. And I don't know if I even gave you any examples of those. And you can also edit if you want to, where a dollar sign you can put in. If you want to see a dollar sign in something, you can actually put it in. So I can say, I want year goal formatted this way, and it will then format it with a dollar sign. So I'm taking year goal, which is a number. I'm going to convert it to character, and the character version is going to have a format. Okay, so if I want it to come out in a particular way, I can format it. And you should take a look at some of those examples. One of the ones that I like is NVL. That converts null values to an actual number. So if I say I want all null values to show as zero, okay, because sometimes you really don't want to leave a blank space in the column. You'd rather have a number there. So NVL, I'm saying show me your goal. Well, this one was null. So I can say now if it's a null value, make the year goal zero. Check the year goal, and if it's a null value, make it zero. So if in a report I would prefer to have a number there, I can do it. And then the last one just basically said, if it's nothing, make it 10. Okay, and that's something that I think is more useful than a lot of the stuff in the functions. Okay. I would love to know why it keeps flashing at me, but anyway. We are assuming, hopefully, yes, it's been catching things. Whatever. Okay, this is the decode function, and it's as close as you've come to having an if statement in SQL. Okay, there is no if statement in SQL. But a decode is very close to doing an if statement. On the whole, if you want to get into decisions and loops, then you get outside SQL, and in Oracle you use PLSQL, which is the programming language they developed to have SQL embedded in it. And we will get into that at the end of the semester. But PLSQL is the programming language using SQL. And with that, you can have if statements, and you can have loops, and you can have anything else you want. It's a full programming language, or reasonably full at least. But in SQL, this is as close as you come to an if statement. What I'm saying here is evaluate city. Okay, so it's looking at city, decoding. And it's decoding city. And if city is CCONC, then it is going to take the year goal and add 100. If the city is Providence, it's taking the year goal and adding 125. If the city is Fall River, it's taking it and adding 150. Otherwise, it's not adding anything. Okay, and unfortunately, I covered all the cities, so you don't see any of the where it didn't add anything. Okay, but it is basically asking the question, if the city is CCONC, then add 100. If the city is Providence, add 125. If the city is Fall River, add 150. Otherwise, this is the else, basically. Else, just use the year goal. Now, what is new goal down there doing?
It's going to display the output.
Yeah, it's the column name. Okay, so you know how I could have written up here name and then a space and written the name that I wanted to be over the column? So I could have written name, comma, before the comma, I could have put the name, or whatever it is I wanted to show over the column. Well, I've got name, I've got city, I've got year goal, And then I am doing this to determine what goes in the fourth column. And there's no comma at the end of that. So this new goal goes into the fourth column, goes over the fourth column. So that's the name that goes over the fourth column.
Is that the normal type of structure that you would use if you were setting it up, I mean, versus having your goal on the line before it, you know, where the default is? Because it looks like there's a lot of spaces on line six to push the year goal all the way.
Yeah, no, I think it's more that that's the way that made sense to me, was to have the cities underneath and then basically showing if it was a blank, if there was nothing else. Some people just code it all the way going across. I like breaking it down into lines because I think it's more readable. I think new goal probably would have looked better up there.
Right.
But
no, from the examples I've looked at, and then even in the manuals, they're all over the place as to structure that they set up.
Why didn't anything go into colors?
Pardon me?
Why is that blank on the colors? What it?
Because it was null.
It was null, so it won't be.
So it keeps the null.
Okay.
Because your goal was null.
So you have to put a zero there in order to get the 125.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. If it's null, it will not.
Could you use the NBO command?
Yes, you could.
If you use the NVL command, like you showed earlier, that's just converting it for the output.
That's right.
You have to go and do the update in conjunction with the NVL.
Yes.
To update the record. Update.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
NVL is only showing.
Right.
It's not changing data.
Right.
And again, that actually is a real plus because you don't want these random things going in and mucking up the data. Okay, you want the data to be left alone and only updated. And again, as I said last time, most companies have enough common sense to only give certain people the right to manipulate the data, as in change it. And so you have to have a security code in order to be able to do that. And I did another one where I did a multiply. Okay, down here I've done one that did the nested functions. And this is where I am saying it will do the first function before, wait, not function, the wrong place. It will do the inner function before it does the outer function. So I'm doing an add months here. Then I'm doing a months between. And then I'm doing a convert all that to character. The example down below is more similar to what we've been looking at, so that's the one I'm going to really look at. It's got select city state, and then I said concatenate.
Okay, so in this case, I am saying concatenate the word city, comma, I'm doing the substring and the length. So in the order that this will be done in, it will come in and figure out the length. Okay, so we'll get the length of the state. Then it will go in and do the substring, so we'll go into city, comma, length of the state, comma, four. Okay? Then it will go in and concatenate all of that together. So it's going to do the length of the state, which was probably not the best example in the world, since the state is always two characters. Okay, then I'm doing a substring, which starts at the second character and writes out four of them. And then I'm concatenating that with the word city equals. And I'm concatenating that with the substring, which was the first four characters starting with the second. Okay, so this is the second character, and it goes through and does that. Okay, so I go in and I say city, comma, 2, 4. So that means go to the second character and take four characters. Okay, so that gives me, in the case of CCONC, EEKO.
And then I say, okay, concatenate that with city equals. So I've got three functions going on there. And I do the inner function, then the middle function, and then the outer function. But I always will resolve the inner function first. Okay, now we looked at a bunch of functions that act on individual records. There's two kinds of functions. Functions that act on individual records, such as substring, such as instring, such as upper, such as lower. All of those will act on every record in the table. So if I'm converting the name and I tell it to do a select and I do the name conversion, every record will be individually acted on and converted so that my report will have every record on the table converted. Okay? If I put a where clause in, then I can only convert the people that meet a certain criteria. So if I only want to convert people that live in Providence, I can look for Providence and city equal to Providence, and only the select will only act on the city people in Providence. Okay. But then there are group functions. And the group functions do things like count, sum, average, max, min, standard deviation, which I long ago forgot what it is, and variance, which I long ago forgot what it is. But if you ever have to produce a report that asks for the standard deviation, you can automatically get it by using STD-DEV. Okay. So I'm going in here and I'm doing a count. And in this case, I did convert, use the NVL and convert it to zero so that it would be counted. So when I did that, look at the two that kind of go together here. I have count NVL year goals zero, and I count up and I get six records. I just say count those that have a year goal, and I get five. Okay, so I'm basically doing the conversion to zero while I do the count. So I'm saying take the year goal, if it's zero, then if it's null, then convert it to zero, which means I then had something in the record and I then added in the record. And notice that that changes the average, but it doesn't change the total. Okay, it changes the average because when I get the total here, I'm dividing by six. When I get the total here, I'm dividing by five. And so that's going to change the average, okay? But it doesn't change the sum because if it is null, I'm making it zero, and that has no impact on the sum, okay? Okay, so I can get a count, I can get a max, I can get a minimum. And I can do all of that. Okay, now we get into something that's starting to get a little more complicated. I'm saying here, select state, count city, from donor, group by state. So I'm telling it to form two groups in this case, because Massachusetts and Rhode Island are my only states. So it is forming two groups, the Massachusetts group and the Rhode Island group. And it turns out that there are four records in the Massachusetts group and two records in the Rhode Island group. So I'm saying select state, count city. So I'm counting how many records have a city field from donor, and I'm grouping by state. Okay? So if I wanted to go through and find out how many people are in every major here, I could go in and say I wanted to count, and I could pick students or I could pick anything. It doesn't really matter what you put in the count. And I can say, okay, do the count and do it by major. So group by major. So therefore all the CIs would come back and they'd give me a count of CI. All the business people, it would come back and give me a count of that. All of the general studies, it would give me a count of that. So it would group by major and then give me a count of how many students were in the major. Okay, so this is kind of a subtotal. Okay, the original thing, if I don't use the group by, I get a total for all of the records in the file, in the table. If I use the group by, I can break it down and say I'm grouping by state. And so that's what I want to see. Okay, so I'm saying group by state, and I said count city. I could have used any field there other than state to count. Okay, but I said count city for some reason. And the only thing that I can print up here, as far as a field is concerned, when I'm doing totals, is something that I group by. Okay, because think about that. If I'm grouping by state, in this case, I couldn't say print name, because there were four people from Massachusetts. Which name would I get? Okay. There's another version of SQL, I believe it's MySQL, that lets you do that, and it gives you basically garbage back because it gives you a name. Well, the name is irrelevant to all four of those, it's just one person. So if I put here, select, and I want to see a field, the only field I can see is the field I group by. Because that makes sense. I'm grouping by state. And so I can take the state that I'm grouping by and show that. But if I said select state, comma, name, I can't do that. Okay? Because the name is going to be different for everybody in that group. And so the name doesn't make any sense. Questions?
That typo on the, it says West City equals Seacock, and I see an extra apostrophe before the equal, assuming that's...
No, that's an exclamation point, right?
Exclamation point, okay, yeah.
And that's a not equal.
Oh, that's a not equal.
Yep, I said there, okay, so down here, up, okay. First of all, here I'm simply doing a group by state. And I'm saying I want the count of all the records in the state, is what I'm saying. And again, I could have counted name. I would not want to have count year goal because year goal can be null. So I would want to pick a field there that is not going to be null when I say count. Okay, on the second one, I said I want to do the same thing, except I want to eliminate any city that is named Seekonk. For some reason, I don't want to include Seekonk. So I'm saying I want to eliminate any city that has Seekonk as I am doing this. Okay? So select state, count the city from donor, but where the city is not equal to Seekonk. So if the city is equal to Seacock, it won't be counted. Okay? And notice that Massachusetts then comes up with three. Because apparently there was one record for Seacock. So I said eliminate Seacock. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
I was going to ask you about the counts, but now I understand why the counts were the way they were.
Yeah, right. Because that eliminated seekonk, and therefore, and then grouped by state.
Okay, then I came down and did the next one where I said order by, and that will change the order that you're getting the output. So I said order by state descending, so I've now got Rhode Island and Mass. And I can also use what I've accumulated here. So I can say select state, count city, from donor, group by state, order by count. So I can use that function that I had up there to do the ordering by, so that I am getting them in descending order here. Okay. Okay, questions? On this next one, I'm saying group by state and contact within state. And before I do that, I want to talk about the first homework assignment. There's one example where I have you, I want to order by three things. Okay, quite a few is name, city, and state. Quite a few of you got the order wrong and said order by name. Okay, think about that sensibly. Everybody, it's going to be a unique name. There may occasionally be somebody that has two names, but I don't have any of those in my data. So all the names are different. So if I order by names, that's fine. It makes the order by name. Then I said, you said commerce city. So that meant sought within the name groups. But there's only one name in the name groups. Sought by city. So it ended up with that being meaningless. Once you sought it by name, unless two people have the same name, any later sorts have no impact because the sort has put it in name order and there's only one person per name. So if you then sort by city within name, because read it as that, sort by name, now sort by city within name. Well, if there's only one name, that has no impact. Okay. So what would make sense to sort first? If you have name, city, and state, as I listed.
State,
because state's the big picture. So I get them by state, and then I say by city within state, and then name within city, and they'll be alphabetized within the city, and if there's two that have the same name, they'll be right next to, in the same city, in the same state, they'll be right next to each other. Okay, but if you sort by name, you're done. There's no sense in sorting by anything else unless you expect to have duplicate names. I was dealing with an insurance thing. Actually, I went to get a flu shot yesterday. 3 hours later, I still don't have a flu shot because I got stubborn and wouldn't pay for it because my insurance company told me they were going to pay for it. However, the places that I went, three, all of which would not, and you go back home and call in between and they'd say, go here. We made the arrangements. I'd go in, we'd get for a, anyway. Never got the flu shot.
But they was, one of the people said, ooh, I like your name. Nobody else comes up with that name. So that's what made me think of that is Priscilla Grosser is apparently not the most common name in the country. So I was, she was very excited about that, but she still wouldn't give me the flu shot. for free.
So I've got to go back and call again, because now I'm just getting stubborn. I refuse to pay for it because my insurance company tells me I shouldn't have to pay for it. And their software is not talking to the, it's a software glitch is what it is.
You can go to like Rite Aid and get it done.
I think I probably could go to Rite Aid, but first I went to Walgreens. The woman there said, no, you've got to go to either CVS or your doctor. So I went home and called up and said, okay, where do I go? And they said, anybody should take it. So I said, fine, I was told to go to CVS, so I'll go to CVS. CVS wouldn't take it. So then I went back home and I called again, and the woman said, you can go anywhere. She said, I have called now Walmart and told them you're coming and told them to take you. Went over to Walmart and they said, no, we can't get you. So at this point, I now do not have my flu shot. And I wasted 3 hours talking to insurance people. And it's all a software glitch. The software at CVS is apparently not talking to the software at my insurance, which is the state insurance plan. And apparently they're not talking to each other. They're not able to pass the information, which is, I'm afraid, oh so typical. So anyway, now that I've whined about that, we will move on. So group by state and then contact means it does just that. It does the grouping by state and then contact within the state. So Amy Costa is in Massachusetts, John Adams is Mass, etc. And now since I'm grouping by state and contact, I can print them both. State and contact. Okay, I can print them both. And then I went and did the same thing and said where contact is not equal to John Adams. And so John Adams, there was only one in Massachusetts, so that whole line got eliminated. And then I went on and said, try to do this. I went on and said, okay, I want to select state contact and some of your goal from donor. Where some of your goal greater than 100. So I was taking the total that I got and saying eliminate any total that's greater than 100 and group by state and contact, and it said forget it. The group function is not allowed here. Okay? So I went back and did it the right way, which is show me the state, the contact, and the sum of your goal from donor, group by state contact, only group the things that have a sum of your goal greater than 100. Now, why did that work one way and not another? The things that I looked at up above, I was testing individual records. I was saying, for example, where contact is not equal to John Adams. So as it is forming the groups, it eliminated any record that had a contact with John Adams. But this was eliminating the where eliminates as the groups are being formed. So the where eliminates as the groups are being formed. But if I want to eliminate a group, I have to do it with the having. The having eliminates groups. So the where eliminates records as the groups are being formed. And the having eliminates groups. Okay? And that's kind of an important thing to make a note of. And again, what we're starting to see is all of these clauses that can go on that simple little select statement. Okay? We've got a from, we've got a where, we've got a group by, we have a having, because I could have combined and had a where in here as long as I was eliminating John Adams or somebody like that. I could have done that in here from, don't know where, John Adams, group I stayed in contact, only where I have the sum of your goal greater than 100. Okay, so I'm doing that. And I did it down below. So down below, I combined them all together. And I said, select state, contact, sum your goal from donor. Eliminate John Adams as you're forming the groups. Eliminate the groups that are not greater than 100, and now order them by that field. So I've got a whole lot of different clauses on there, all of which get executed. If you were writing a program to do this, you'd have to write a lot more than you can. Select is incredibly powerful. Okay, it lets you do a whole load of things in one statement. But sometimes it gets pretty complex as it's doing it. Okay? But it really is. It's an incredibly powerful statement. That went through and it grouped everything. It eliminated records as it forms a group. It eliminated groups and then it sorted them. So it really has done an incredible amount with just one statement. And that shows the results. And then I did a minimum of the average year goal by state and a maximum. Did I do a maximum? No. By state and contact. Look over these notes. The reason you don't have a book is the notes are fairly complete, and that's why you don't have them. Now, somebody told me that the PowerPoints have gone, which I want to see. No, that one's there.
I think they're working again.
Okay.
I checked this morning on the ones that I didn't want.
And they're now working? Okay.
I ran into just one that went to the BCC website.
Okay, if one isn't working, let me know. This is still the last class. Hello? This is still my 9:30 class.
Oh, I'm looking, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. You're not going to find a seat yet.
I was like, wait a second, I don't know if I'm don't. I'm
sorry. I actually have 4 more minutes even. Now that they've added that precious 3 minutes to the class. Eliminate a day and add 3 minutes to every class. Yeah. Okay, so look the stuff over. I think the PowerPoints are actually fairly good, so if you're having any problems, look at the PowerPoints. I went to a bunch of seminars back then on SQL, and I basically came home and wrote out the notes and then did the PowerPoints. And as I said, SQL is SQL is SQL. This is the course I haven't had to change much at all, because SQL hasn't changed much at all. Love this course, because I don't have to keep upgrading it. So anyway.
The dates in your examples.
Oh, yeah. No, right. I mean, you know. They were even before the year 2000. But as I said, SQL is SQL is SQL, so it works. Okay, we are done.